So today's reading is primarily from Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you're having a flashback now to a few weeks ago, maybe a couple of months ago, when Tim's sermon went, when he was here, he had the yoke and everything that he demonstrated to us. You're quite right. But hear me out. When Tim initially asked me to speak today, I was totally convinced, well, totally just shows you how God works, that I was going to talk on compassion. But the more I prayed about what God wanted his people to hear, the more I started seeing and hearing things, quotes, words, sermons, my devotions, talks on the radio, even in my normal discussions with the people around me. It was as if the Spirit left little breadcrumbs that led me to this word, rest. Now that's where I need to turn my first slide on. Ah, maybe I'll just do this. No. Yeah. It just vibrated on my hand, so I'm sure. Yeah. I wish I had something like that in my garden. I don't. There are numerous scripture references in the Bible about the topic of rest and refreshment, restoration, being still. Psalm 23, verse 1 to 3. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Mark 4, where Jesus is sleeping peacefully while a storm is raging, threatening to engulf and sink the boat. Mary and Martha, you can find that story in Luke 10, where Jesus visits their house and he starts teaching. Martha runs around trying to get the meal ready while Mary sits down at Jesus' feet. And when Martha complains, Jesus actually says that Mary's doing the right thing, you know, being still, sitting at his feet. There are many more examples. I hear people say how tired they are. I see how tired people are. I hear people say how busy they are. I see how busy people are. I don't know about you, but I love people watching. When I'm sitting at a restaurant or a cafe, it's so interesting to watch people. And this is what I've been seeing and noticing. I see people in a hurry, checking the time, whether on their phones or on their wristwatches, rushing along. I've even noticed it in myself, hurrying along, rushing, ticking off the stuff on my to-do list in my head. But I wouldn't have realized this, that I was doing the same, if it wasn't for someone in this church family who one Sunday, a number of weeks ago, asked me how I was, and then commented on whenever she sees me, I'm always rushing somewhere. You're such a busy lady, she said to me. That actually surprised me, and I had to think about it. I'm not busier than anyone else around me. Yes, I've got a lot to do. Who doesn't? But especially in my work, I love my job. I'm exactly where God put me. I'm where he called me to. Plus, I've got a bonus. I'm so blessed. I've got 2 days a week where I can do creative things. I love doing creative things. It fills my tank. So you see, I'm blessed, but why am I still rushing? Why am I exhibiting busyness to the people who observe me? Is this one of the side effects of the 21st century? Maybe there's some truth in that. You know, we've got the latest news available in our pockets. Google tells us anything we want to know. I hear an ambulance, something's happened somewhere. Check it up. Yep, there was an accident in Kingsheed or wherever. It's amazing. Stuff, Facebook, Instagram. And if the idea ever came into my head to fix something on my car, I hope it never does, but I can just go to YouTube, a how-to video, and it'll show me exactly what to do. Silence? Never. We're so scared of silence. Please, just not silence. We fill it with Spotify, Apple Music, the TV going on, whatever it is. Reading maps? No way. Haven't you heard of Google? The lady tells you exactly where to turn and how long it's going to take you to get there. You get the picture. While I do think that technology and too much information has a lot to do with our hurried, rushed, and anxious society, I think there may be more to it. Listen to this poet Christina Rossetti. She was from the Victorian time. O Lord, Jesus Christ, who art as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land, who beholdest thy weak creatures, weary of labor, weary of pleasure, weary of hope deferred, weary of self. In thine abundant compassion and fellow feeling with us and unutterable tenderness, bring us, we pray, unto thy rest. We go back even a little bit more, 200 BC, the Roman playwright Plautus, I think that's how you pronounce his name, wrote this: the gods confound the man who first found out how to distinguish hours. Confound him too, who in this place set up a sundial to cut and hack my days so wretchedly into small portions. So you see, the need for rest is nothing new. I think there's something deep, much deeper, much more profound to our need for rest. So going back to this message when God started telling me, this is what you're going to talk about, my reaction to his leading was a bit exasperated. Really, God? Have we not heard enough about this topic already? But the Spirit of God whispered, tell them again. So here I am, telling you about rest. So this is Mother's Day. I thought I could get away with it. These are boys. When they were, the top picture, Marius was 2.5, and the bottom picture, Bernard, was probably 18 months old there. They were so sweet. But as sweet as they were, I can say that, they were. Now they're big and hairy. But anyway, as sweet as they were, we as their parents knew when they needed a rest. They would get cranky and irritable, cry for everything. They'd even get hyperactive sometimes. And Titus used to say that they're trying their best not to go down for a sleep. But we knew they needed a sleep. And eventually when they woke up from their rest, they would be back to their old, mischievous, mostly good boys. But just like any good parent knows when their children need rest, so does God know what we need as well. He knows that we need rest to be renewed and rejuvenated in body, spirit, and mind. And that is why he gave us as one of the Ten Commandments that we should keep the Sabbath. So as we've all heard before, Sabbath rest is important, whether your Sabbath is on a Sunday or another day of the week. Taking a day out to connect with God and to rejuvenate yourself, to do different things, to rest, to turn off the technology is vitally important. But I'm not focusing on Sabbath rest today. Today's message is actually about soul rest. So here are some of the phrases that got my attention lately, and they just resonated with me, each and every one of them. But take notice which one you identify with most. They were not supposed to do that. They were supposed to come up one at a time. But anyway, there they are, all of them. Unforced rhythms of grace. Finding rest for my soul. Soul rest for the tired and weary. My soul wakening up. Time for our souls to catch up with our bodies. Dusting of my soul. I like the picture of that. You know, getting rid of all the cobwebs. In one of my devotionals, Roxanne Parker, who's a devotional writer, describes rest as follows. Rest is a prescription for future usefulness. Without taking time to rest, we relegate ourselves to actually being less effective in our endeavors. Who can relate to that statement? I certainly can. I've realized that if I don't choose, that's an important word, choose, to make time to stop and be still every day. Some days for a few minutes, some days for an hour. I end up running around in circles, frustrated, irritable, annoyed, and tired. Oh, so tired. Not immediately, though. Oh, no, that would be way too easy. It's a gradual process. It creeps up on me. I get irritable and annoyed. Just ask my poor husband. I feel incompetent. I doubt myself and others. And I complain about everything. It's a trait in myself I really don't like. As I said, poor Titus, he's had to listen to this dripping tap many times over the years. Until that day when I reach the end of myself, when I feel utterly miserable about myself and everyone around me, when I'm exhausted beyond reason and I can see no joy in anything, only then, when I stop and I reflect, do I realize that I cannot even remember when last I sat down in silence with Jesus. I call it entering into my safe place. The place of quietness where I become still and I yield all my burdens to Jesus. But let me explain this. What I've just described doesn't happen because I've stopped reading my Bible or doing devotionals or praying. It happens when I get so busy doing the things I do for God. Things that I think God wants me to do, or things that it sometimes feels as if he expects me to do, that I find it hard to quiet my thoughts. I get into a habit of hurrying, to the point that my time spent with Jesus is done against the clock. Hurry, rush, I still need to make the bed and feed the dog. I need to get to work in 10 minutes. But when I actually stop and make a conscious effort to become still, to stop my mad rushing and doing, that is when I enter into an intimacy with God that allows my soul to breathe. And surprising enough, I get more things done that way. I'm more productive. It seems strange, but it's true. The best is that which I can't get done in one day can wait for another day. I don't stress about it anymore. There will always be work to do. Quoting Roxanne Parker again, intimacy with my Savior is like a sweet, slow dance of rest for my soul. What a blissful picture. In a further demonstration of soul rest, both John Mark Comer and John Ortberg tells the story of American devotional writer Letty Kalman, who writes about an English traveler who goes to Africa, and she's got in her mind that she's going to have this quick trip into the jungle. So in order to help her with this, she hires some local tribesmen to carry her gear. So they do. They set off the first day and they walk the whole day. It's not as easy as she thought it was going to be, hacking through the jungle. Arriving physically exhausted at their first stop, she spends a fitful night sleeping. But she's up the next morning ready to go again. But her porters refuse to budge. No amount of pleading, of bribing, nothing works. They won't move. And finally, totally frustrated, she asks their leader, why? And this is what he answered. We have traveled way too fast and way too far the first day. They need to wait for their souls to catch up with their bodies. Have you ever felt that you needed the time and space for your soul to catch up to your body? That's definitely an indication that your soul needs rest. So let us read Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30 again. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is that same passage in the Message translation. So paraphrase, are you tired, worn out, burnt out on the religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. In this passage, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and those around him in the midst of their lives in turmoil. All their lives, they had been yoked to the Pharisees who had codified the law of Moses, or the Mosaic law, into 365 prohibitions and 250 commandments. Just imagine that. You should not. You should. These people have worn themselves out trying to obey all of these. They were absolutely worn out from their efforts. And this was on top of trying to keep their heads above water, just like we are doing. They had to work to feed their families, most often from sunup to sundown. They had to cook, clean, and educate the children. Not much different from our lives. But they had all these extra things piled on top. And here Jesus offers an invitation to take off the yoke of that hard life of performance and replace it with his easy yoke. He not only extends this invitation to his disciples and the people of that time, but it's for you and me as well. Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. In essence, stop trying to do in your own strength. Be with me first, he says, and then do alongside me. Note that Jesus is not promising that everything will be plain sailing if you choose to do that. But what he does promise is that the yoke of life is not ours to bear on our own. He will be yoked with us to make the load lighter. Like that young, eager ox in the picture of the yoke, who just wants to go, who's yoked with an older, more experienced, more docile ox who's learned you have to slow down the pace or you will never make it. That's the same picture that Jesus uses here. If we are yoked to the one who is gentle and humble or meek and mild, then it is going to change the pace at which we walk, the pace at which we live our lives. In all its busyness and complexity, it will change our perspective. Consequently, we will find rest for our souls. So when I looked up unforced and grace, this is what the dictionary Google said. Unforced is not produced by effort, natural, not compelled or constrained. The unforced rhythms of grace is the stunning grace of Jesus that allows us to live freely and lightly, to continually come into his rest and go out in his grace. Grace is defined as the love and mercy given to us by God because God desires us to have it, not because of anything we have done to earn it. It is in the natural rhythms of love and mercy that God pours out on us that you and I can come into his rest and walk out into his grace. Rest for our souls. It's about balance. The Hopi, the Native American people, they have a word to describe life out of balance. Now I'm going to try and say it. They call it Koyaanisqatsi. It also means crazy life, life in turmoil, life disintegrating. Needless to say, life as we knew it has disintegrated. I can just speak for ourselves. We used to be able to visit family in South Africa. Now we can't. Maybe we can, but it's so much more expensive and harder. We just need to watch the news to notice the craziness and turmoil that is going on around us. Try to achieve a balanced life in a world like this seems too hard to handle. The burden is getting too heavy. In Jesus' invitation to take his yoke upon us in the midst of a life in turmoil, he offers us another way of living, the unhurried, gentle way of meekness that will inherit the earth. What are we going to do with it? Today, choose the unforced rhythms of grace. Now, some of you may have already made that choice. Others may think that it sounds amazing, but how? The answer is easy. But like everything else worthwhile, the application is not so easy. It takes a conscious effort and a conscious decision, and it seems counterintuitive. Now, when you don't have enough time to get everything done, now you have to take time out to be still. But in order to get to a place of stillness for our souls to be refreshed, we need to choose to make time to be quiet. There it is again, that word, choose, unforced. It is our choice to make, yours and mine. Jesus is never going to force us. I want you to know that my intention today is not to add more pressure or another burden. This is not a have to do in order to live a better life or in order to be a better Christian. This is an invitation to walk alongside Jesus so he can share the load. Life is still going to be hard. We're still going to feel as if there are not enough hours in the day to get everything done. We will still feel that taking time to be quiet and still is just too hard to do. But I want to come alongside Jesus today and invite you to try. Even only for 5 minutes, at any time during the day, whenever it is possible for you. There's no recipe for success. There's no right time. For years, I went burdened under a feeling of guilt because I've heard that you have to get up early in the morning, spend your first few minutes with God before you go into the day. So I've tried it, tried getting up before the rest of the family. It didn't work for me for various reasons. But now I first have my coffee and my shower, and when the house is quiet, that's when I take time to spend with Jesus. So for you, it will be different. Like it varies for me from day to day, sometimes a few minutes, sometimes longer. It varies from person to person. I like sitting in my quiet place. I'll show you our quiet place soon. But someone else goes for a walk. Another person goes for a run. John Wesley's mother actually pulled her apron over her head. And that was a sign to her children that it was time for her time with Jesus. And she had many children, and they didn't dare interrupt when her apron was over her head. Don't know if there are any other Afrikaans-speaking people here, but that is a decal we have on our wall in the bedroom. And this is what it means. It is here in the stillness where I meet my God and my soul is dusted. Quiet. Being still. Meeting my God. Dusting my soul. Getting rid of the cobwebs of the day, the cobwebs of life. Whatever you do, and however you do it, choose to make time to be quiet every day. Allow time for your soul to wake up. Sometimes when I'm sitting in my quiet place, I don't hear from the Spirit, but I just sit and allow my scattered senses to focus back on God. And when my mind wanders, I have learned to take notice, but to let it pass. I don't focus on where my mind wants to wander. I don't agonize over it. I don't feel guilty over it. All of us have wandering minds. I focus on the presence of the Spirit. Sometimes I talk to God. Sometimes I listen to Him speaking. And other times I just soak up the silence. Most importantly, I always feel that my soul had been refreshed when I get up and carry on with my day. So that invitation from Jesus again. There it is. Are you tired? Worn out? Burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So I'll just leave that up there. That is the end of my sermon. But there will now be a time for reflection and response. Reflect quietly Now, this is going to be done on purpose. It's going to be silent. And a lot of us, me included sometimes, can get a bit uncomfortable with the silence. But let's practice together. So in silence, we're going to reflect on how we have responded or would like to respond to Jesus' invitation. Maybe some of you feel you need some prayer to help you enter into that quiet place. Or maybe you want to invite Jesus into your heart for the first time this morning. Whatever it is you need prayer for, there will be people up the front here who would love to pray for you. Just before we do that, I'd like to finish with a prayer, an ancient prayer from the 5th century AD by Augustine of Hippo. Grant me, even me, my dearest Lord, to know you and to love you and rejoice in you. Let the love of you grow every day more and more in me, that my joy may be full in you. Amen.